When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Skims or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and great marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. It's home of Shop Pay, the number one checkout in the world. You can use it to boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through to checkout. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Allbirds uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/income.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today, I will analyze the case of Lucy Harrison. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the incident, then offer my analysis. Lucy Catherine Harrison was born in 2001 and lived in Warrington, Cheshire, England. Her father's name was Chris Harrison. Her mother's name was Jane Coates. When Lucy was young, her father moved to Prosper, Texas for work. This is 36 miles north of Dallas. Chris worked for a fiber optics company as an executive. Eventually, he married a woman named Heather. They lived in a 4,000-square-foot house on Town Lake Drive and had two daughters. Chris was unable or unwilling to regulate his intake of alcohol. Despite her father's alcohol problem, Lucy would visit Texas about two or three times a year to visit him and her two half-sisters. A friend of Lucy's would later say that Lucy told her that Chris experienced a seizure from drinking, which resulted in him being placed in an induced coma. When Lucy visited him in 2023 for Christmas, he was in a rehab facility. Allegedly, he relapsed again in March 2024. By this time, Lucy was romantically involved with a man named Samuel Littler, who she met in high school. They purchased a home together. Lucy worked as a fashion buyer for a company called Boohoo. Now moving to the timeline of the incident. On December 28, 2024, Lucy and Samuel arrived in Prosper, Texas to visit Lucy's father, Chris, and her two half-sisters. On January 10, 2025, the day Lucy and Samuel were due to fly back to England, Chris Harrison decided it would be an appropriate time to consume alcohol. Video surveillance captured him at a 7-Eleven store shortly before 1 p.m., purchasing two 17-ounce cartons of Chardonnay. Nothing points to an appreciation for fine wine like purchasing it in a carton. Chris was practically a connoisseur. Chris would later say that his drinking on that day represented a relapse because he was emotional about his daughter leaving for England. He drank one of the white wine cartons over the next couple of hours. Not long before 3 p.m., Lucy's boyfriend Samuel called 911. When the police arrived, they found Lucy in her father's first-floor bedroom. She had sustained a single gunshot wound to her chest. The weapon that was used to shoot her was a Glock semi-automatic pistol chambered in 9mm Luger. The pistol was owned by Lucy's father, Chris. The police determined that Lucy had been shot at medium range. Lucy Harrison was transported to Baylor Scott and White Medical Center in McKinney, Texas, where she was pronounced dead at 3:47 p.m. Chris Harrison admitted that he shot his daughter. He said, quote, "We were getting ready to go to the airport, and we were talking about guns, and she said, 'Do you got a gun?' I said, 'Yes, I got it out.' And it just went off as she stood there. As I pulled it out, it went off," unquote. The police asked Chris where the gun was located prior to the shooting. Chris responded, quote, "It was in the bedside cabinet in a lockbox. We took it out to look, and just as I picked it up, it went off," unquote. The police believed that Chris had been drinking because they could smell alcohol on his breath. However, for some reason, they never tested his blood alcohol level. After the investigation into the shooting of Lucy Harrison was completed, it was taken before a grand jury in Collin County. In June 2025, the grand jury failed to return an indictment. No charges were filed against Chris Harrison. Lucy was a citizen of the UK, which meant an inquest was held there. The Cheshire Coroner's Court heard testimony and collected other evidence as part of the investigation. Lucy's boyfriend Samuel told the inquest that, earlier on the day of the shooting, Lucy had quite a big argument with her father about Donald Trump. Lucy asked Chris, quote, "How would you feel if I was the girl in that situation and I'd been sexually assaulted?" Unquote. Chris responded that he had two other daughters who live with him, so it would not upset him that much. Lucy left the room quite upset. If I had to guess, Donald Trump was the topic of discussion because on that day, January 10, 2025, he received an unconditional discharge after being convicted of 34 felony counts of falsification of business records in Manhattan. Samuel said he always felt on edge while visiting Chris Harrison's home. There were a lot of very opinionated people in the house. Chris had spoken in the past about taking the gun out of the box and walking around with it like James Bond. A friend of Lucy said that Lucy felt very anxious in her father's house due to volatility. She was nervous about a firearm being in the house where her two younger half-sisters lived. Samuel said that when Lucy was in the kitchen, her father, Chris, took her by the hand in a mysterious manner about 30 minutes before they were due to leave for the airport. He led her to his first floor bedroom, which was just a few feet away. 15 seconds later, Samuel heard a loud bang, followed by Chris screaming for his wife, Heather. Initially, Samuel thought Chris was perpetrating a prank. Samuel ran into the bedroom and saw Lucy on the floor near the entrance to the bathroom. Chris was just screaming, just sort of nonsense. Chris Harrison chose not to attend the inquest, but he did submit a statement to the court. Here's what he said. He purchased the Glock pistol to give his family a sense of security. The weapon was for home defense. No license is required in Texas to possess a firearm. Chris and his daughter Lucy were watching a television news segment about gun crime. He mentioned to Lucy that he owned a firearm and asked her if she wanted to see it. Chris said, quote, "As I lifted the gun to show her, I suddenly heard a loud bang. I did not understand what happened. Lucy immediately fell," unquote. Chris did not know if his finger had been on the trigger or not. It seems pretty clear that his finger was on the trigger, mostly because of the discharge part. Chris also offered a statement expressing remorse, saying, quote, "I fully accept the consequences of my actions, and there isn't a day I don't feel the weight of that loss, a weight I will carry for the rest of my life, and I know that nothing I say can ease the heartbreak this tragedy has caused. I cannot undo what happened, but I can honor Lucy by being the best father I can be to her sisters and by carrying her memory forward in everything we do. I am deeply sorry for the pain others feel from this tragedy. Lucy's spirit, her warmth, her humor, her kindness will live on in all of us who loved her," unquote. On February 11, 2026, the Cheshire Coroner's Court ruled that Lucy Harrison was killed unlawfully by her father, Chris Harrison. Based on the balance of probabilities, the court found that the actions that Chris took were reckless. For instance, he pointed a pistol at his daughter's chest. The coroner believed that Chris was probably teasing his daughter with the pistol. The shooting was not intentional. The coroner accepted that Chris did not believe the gun was loaded. Even so, she described his actions as truly exceptionally bad, reprehensible, and consistent with gross negligence. The coroner did not believe that Lucy ever requested to see the pistol. Lucy disliked guns and was worried they represented a danger to the family. Referring to Chris, the coroner said, quote, "His actions have killed his own daughter, and in the cold light of day, it is hoped that he now recognizes the risk he posed to her life and circumstances in which he had no experience of guns, had undertaken no training, and had never fired a gun," unquote. The coroner also believed that Chris was a secret drinker who had probably been drinking continuously on the day of his daughter's death. The ruling of a coroner's court in Britain may seem devastating to Chris Harrison, but it does not carry any weight in the state of Texas as far as criminal liability. It doesn't actually carry any weight as far as anything. That doesn't necessarily mean that Chris is out of the woods. The state of Texas could still file charges against him, although that would be very unlikely, especially considering how a grand jury already failed to indict him. The biggest concern for Chris at this point is probably civil litigation. Now moving to my analysis. Chris Harrison maintains that the shooting was accidental, and he was never charged with a crime. Again, the grand jury failed to indict him. There are a substantial number of people who disagree with the idea that Chris is not guilty of any crime. For example, Lucy's mother Jane called the grand jury's failure to indict him baffling and beyond comprehension. Many people wonder why Chris was never charged. when there are myriad examples of individuals who killed another person unintentionally and found themselves convicted of criminally negligent homicide or even manslaughter. This brings me to the question, should Chris have been charged with a crime in this case? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea he is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. According to the coroner's court, Chris had no training or experience with firearms. He should have known that he was not able to safely handle a weapon. According to Samuel, Chris made a statement about walking around the house with a gun like James Bond. This demonstrates that Chris had a reckless attitude toward firearms. On the day of the shooting, Chris had consumed alcohol. People who are drinking should never handle firearms. There's no question that Chris pointed his pistol at his daughter's chest. He had no good reason to do this. Pointing the weapon alone is reckless. There is no question that Chris pulled the trigger. He never mentioned doing this, but that is the only way the gun would have fired. Chris acted as if he didn't know the weapon was loaded, but it was his responsibility to treat the weapon as loaded at all times. Chris claimed that his daughter wanted to see the gun, but this is unlikely considering she disliked guns and was concerned about the safety of her family with a gun in the house. Moving to the exculpatory factors, Chris claimed that the pistol just went off, almost like the discharge was magical. The police never confirmed that Chris was impaired by alcohol. His blood alcohol level was never tested. That's pretty much it for the exculpatory factors. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Chris Harrison should have been charged with a crime? Yes, I believe he should have been charged with manslaughter. A person is guilty of manslaughter when they kill someone through recklessness. That is, they disregarded a known risk. Chris knew that pointing a weapon at somebody and pulling the trigger carried a great risk of harm, and he disregarded that risk. If one wanted to make the argument that Chris was merely negligent and not reckless, that is, he disregarded a risk that he should have known, he could still be charged with criminally negligent homicide. Manslaughter requires recklessness, but criminally negligent homicide only requires negligence. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Chris Harrison consumed alcohol, retrieved his pistol, pointed the weapon at his daughter's chest, and pulled the trigger. He then pretended like he had no idea why the weapon discharged. Despite his recklessness, the grand jury failed to indict him. Maybe they felt like he had already suffered enough, or they had insufficient critical thinking skills. When the case of Lucy Harrison gained more exposure through the coroner's court in the UK, the public was horrified that Lucy's father was never charged in her death. Chris managed to escape justice. Lucy had long sensed that her father should never have possessed a firearm. She recognized that in his hands, it was hazardous. Tragically, Chris did everything imaginable to prove that his daughter was right. Those are my thoughts in the case of Lucy Harrison. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. One of the main concerns I have in this case with Chris Harrison not being charged with any crime is that it sets a dangerous precedent if someone in the future is thinking about committing a murder. Much of the time, when a murder is planned, the person who commits the murder obviously wants to get away with it. Part of the planning is how they can avoid responsibility. Can they frame someone else? Can they make the killing look accidental? Is there something they can do to avoid going to prison for life or facing the death penalty? Much of the time, these murder cases are really about just trying to prevent evidence from being available to the police, like making sure not to leave DNA, fingerprints, making sure not to have gunshot residue on one's hands, things like that. Sometimes, however, a person trying to stage the perfect murder tries to make it seem like an accident. So they might not have a strong motive, so they're not worried about the motive aspect, and they conduct a shooting or kill someone through another method and just say, it was an accident. So they admit responsibility in a sense, but they're not criminally liable. That's the argument they make. So in this situation with Chris and his daughter, Lucy, Chris retrieved a firearm, pointed it at his daughter, and shot her to death. So if somebody looks at that and they see that he wasn't charged, they might think they could murder somebody using that method and they wouldn't be charged either. Again, an important part of it is having lack of motive, and many people who commit premeditated murder do have a motive. But maybe they think, okay, I can downplay the motive. I mean, after all, this guy, Chris, was drinking alcohol, and the state of Texas let that go. So there's a degree of forgiveness built in there. So even if there is something that makes the guy look like a killer, as long as it's not overwhelming, it'll be considered an accident. It really just simplifies the equation in terms of trying to create a perfect murder in the state of Texas. That's a very dangerous precedent. People might just look at that and think, well, no sense in working too hard on this. Just pick up a gun, shoot somebody to death with it, and say, I didn't know what happened. It just went off. It's all just magical. It's a magic trigger. It's really a ridiculous defense, but Texas has made it more viable. Essentially, the state of Texas is saying, here's a big loophole that people can take advantage of. Now, of course, this really comes down to the grand jury. I don't know how good a job the prosecutor did at presenting a case to the grand jury, but assuming that all the evidence was presented, this really does come down to the grand jury making a mistake. So maybe it's not a trend in the state of Texas or anything, but it's still disturbing in a case that appears to have clear recklessness, that somebody can not be charged with any crime, that a person can kill another human being with a gun and just walk away. They can retain their freedom, and that's the end of it.